At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Iran pulls UN nuke cameras in possible fatal blow, AP, pointing to a meeting of the IAEA, the watchdog for the nuclear energy situation around the world for the UN. But this is about Iran's suspect nuclear weapons program. Vienna, Iran has started removing 27 surveillance cameras from nuclear sites across the country, according to the head of the IAEA, warning that this could deal a fatal blow, says the Director General Grassi. I welcome Henry Sokolsky of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. It's not that this is unexpected. It's that what is to be done follows the revelation of those cameras. What cameras? What were they originally meant to do? What does the fact that Iran is removing them mean about the suspect nuclear weapons program? Henry, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Your article from 2015 points to other endings, but we know the ending of the story now. The cameras are being removed. What were the cameras originally intended to watch, to prevent? What did they become? And what does the fact that Iran is taking them out mean about keeping watch on Natanz and other sites in Iran and their processing of uranium ore? Good evening to you.
Good evening. The cameras that were originally called for in a political agreement called the, now it's called the Iran nuclear deal, but it was a framework agreement, a political deal, they originally were intended to look at the enrichment-related activities, including Natanz, where they were spinning centrifuges to make a certain amount of enriched uranium, and manufacturing sites for centrifuges to see that they were not making new centrifuges, roughly. Now, these cameras were different than most of the cameras that operate under IAEA supervision. Most of those you have to come and visit periodically, usually, you know, every month or every 90 days to download the digital, the visual imagery. And so for a month or more, when you're not there to download the images, anything goes. These cameras would periodically transmit on a secure communications link an image, say every several minutes. They're called near real-time surveillance capable cameras. So the thought was, well, we should be able to keep tabs on what they're doing, and that should deter them from diverting or misusing the centrifuges or expanding them without us having notice. So that was the original idea behind these cameras.
The cameras, however, were always a debating point. And early on, as I remember the story, it's 7 years now, the cameras were moved from real-time surveillance to downloading once a month. Did that provide adequate coverage of the concern for the IAEA, or was that a compromise? Did that lead to doubts about where the status of the processing?
No, it didn't lead to doubts, and there should have been doubts even with near real-time surveillance, and I'll tell you why. You're trying to monitor, in the case of enrichment, the flow of particles, which are very hard to keep a statistical tally on without a margin of error, which over time could amount to a fair amount of material. So watching it doesn't necessarily prevent a slow diversion on the one hand. On the other hand, When you get a certain amount of material, which now Iran has, you get enough that you could quickly enrich it to weapons grade. Even seeing it and having the warning wouldn't do you much good, because by the time you got everyone agreed to do something, that would be like a few weeks, they would have a bomb anyway. So it was bad enough when it was near real time, but it got worse when the Iranians about 2 years ago said, you know, this is interfering with other signals. We don't want you to continue to operate them in near real time. That just made it worse. But it never was great for these facilities. These are unique facilities. They're not like reactors with where you're monitoring fuel assemblies that are, you know, weigh several tons. They're concrete, literally large, heavy items, and you can see them move or not move.
The Natanz facility is known. There are three undisclosed sites, and those revelations are ahead of us. But you have written about a site we all know well, the Bushehr reactor, light water reactor. You wrote about it 7 years ago. Is that part of the concern of the IAEA? Was that part of the original protocols? And what is the concern about Bushehr today?
Well, to the agency's credit, they did ask for near real-time surveillance cameras to be installed at Bushehr. The United States and the other members of the original deal, which included Germany, Britain, France, and Russia, and China, did not ask for those. And the agency did. But, of course, the agency did not get agreement. The Iranians said, no way, we don't want you to have near real-time cameras at Bushehr.
And Bushehr can produce what, Henry? What is the threat that they're not now watching?
Well, originally, so many years ago, before the 2015 deal was cut, the first Bush administration, or I should say, excuse me, the second Bush administration, was opposed to Bushehr being completed as a power reactor because it was serving as a cover to acquire weapons goods that made it very difficult to track what the purpose of a certain import was. But beyond that, the reactor itself, it was pointed out by the House Intelligence Committee and by, one of the national labs in a report, produces, you know, plutonium that's suitable to make weapons from. And there was a concern that if they completed Bushehr, they might divert the spent fuel and crack it open and chemically separate or reprocess out the plutonium to make bombs. So, Bushehr is a problem. Light water reactors are a problem, particularly in countries where you don't know what they might be doing covertly and you don't trust them.
I recall language about how Russia was going to provide uranium and also take their spent rods so that there wasn't an opportunity to pluck out the plutonium for bomb making. But that was years ago, and it was a different landscape for Russia and Tehran working together. A moment here. What is to be done now? The IAEA is threatening a resolution, or there seems to be stern words, and Iran is making threats. Is there any apparatus that would be successful that you can imagine in the near future? We have a couple of minutes.
Well, first, just going back on your comment, yeah, the Russians did do that. Its problem is that you had to let the spent fuel sit so long that it still could be filched. So it never was a complete solution, their commitment to take the spent fuel back. Getting to what would make a difference, it would have to be something very heroic. I mean, you'd have to get them to stop enriching, and you'd have to have real inspections to determine not only what's happened, what's happening now, but even what's been happening in the past. I don't see that as very likely.
And because that's not likely, what we have then is Iran has what is called, they use this term of art, breakout time. I'm lost in the details here, but there's something about now having achieved 60% and weapons grade is 90%. This is for uranium. This is plutonium is ready, off the shelf ready. What is the breakout time at 60% from what we know of the ability of Iran to process?
If, as is possible, probable maybe, they have made or have made an implosion device and put it aside, we don't know that. But if they did do that, the amount of time it would take to insert metallic material in there to complete that bomb could be as little as 2 to 3 weeks.
And because it's this short and the IAEA is now saying that the cameras have been removed, is this the moment that the decisions are going to be made in other capitals about what is to be done? Are we going to kinetic solutions and not monitoring?
It's unclear, but it's coming to a crisis point. Either we're going to cave and give in to the demands that we not sanction the Revolutionary Guard and we give back the money, we do everything the Iranians want to continue the deal, or you are going to go into a mode where it's going to be a deterrence game, where the question is, do the Iranians want to cross the line and build a bomb, or does someone want to jump the gun, no pun intended, and try to do a military operation? The latter is not going to be easy for Israel to do. It's just it's a heck of a long distance away. And so we'll have to wait and see.
Henry Sokolsky is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.